Alive. So welcome everybody to Answering the Call of Your Purpose. This is Luanne Marine and welcome to Janet McGeever. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Luanne. Thank you for having
I'm so honored. I know there was a bit tricky getting yes. here because you're so busy and you've got lots on and everything, but I'm really honored and we've got lots to chat about today. First I just want to remind everybody, this is really I created this, this podcast just to inspire people to get on purpose, to first we've got to find it and then embody it and embrace it and express it. And my guests that I invite, I feel that they're in that, they're doing it, they've done it, and it always hasn't been an easy road. So hopefully this will inspire you. And I've got the beautiful Janet McGeever, and she is the co-author. I've got your book here, Tantric Sex and Menopause. Great. I haven't read all of it yet, but it's one of my definitely go-tos. And Janet, just jump in here. Tell us about you. What are you doing? And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks. Look, basically, I'm a psychotherapist and I have been for about 20 years. And so I've been in the field of therapy for that amount of time. Before that, for a longer period of time as someone receiving therapy. So it's kind of been part of my life for quite some time, even since my late 20s. But I specialize in menopause and intimacy and just helping women in midlife and beyond, and any woman who's approaching this time of their life, and couples to connect more deeply in their intimate relationships. So it's not, definitely, I mean, I've worked with couples from their early 20s all the way through to their 70s, but at the moment, where my work has led has been in that, especially after writing that book, Menopause and Intimacy. So,
And I know the work that you put into that, because we've kind of been friends for a few years now. And I love on your website. So it's janetmcgeever.com. We'll put all the links down below. Is make love your priority. Make love your priority, helping you connect more deeply within your intimate relationship. Mm. So what kind of led you to that work?
A long and winding road.
You're a singer.
I mean, I'm 60 now. when I think back on it, femininity, health and well-being, women, it's all been part of my life for a very long time. And even my mother, she sought out a natural childbirth doctor in Brisbane back in the 60s, late 50s, 60s. And she was doing yoga when I was 15. I remember that. And she took me to Blackmore for naturopathic stuff in my teens. And I remember at 23, she gave me a book. What was it? Called Womanhood or something, Pava Arola. And just, I remember devouring the information about health and well-being and being a woman. And so, and then, becoming pregnant to my first child and having that baby and having it not go well and to experience what that was like, and then to have a home birth when everything did go really well. And I think, during those times of navigating a sexual relationship and a long-term relationship, and then after childbirth, especially in my 30s, I just found that, especially that birth, because it was such a natural birth, where I felt like I just was kind of just so in tune with myself, and it felt like making love to birth my second baby, to tell the truth. And it's like I just couldn't go back to, fast, hard, friction style sex after that. My body just, but I couldn't understand why. And it just kind of became devastating, because I felt like I just couldn't live up to, what I thought a woman should be and what I was seeing around and what society was kind of saying that a woman should be, we should always be, you know, ever ready. And I just wasn't finding that. And
hold on, Janet. Yeah, sorry. Right. sorry. I'm just going to, hold on. Okay, go.
So just that devastation of that confusion inside. I mean, I can feel it in my solar plexus right now. And I just, you know, when I work with women and couples, I just have so much empathy because I see this disparity between, you know, the male sex drive and then the woman's changing body. And it changes over our lives with everything that we go through. And it's just not understood enough. And so to start to discover this work of Diana Richardson, slow sex and more conscious lovemaking and being more aware and bringing more presence to every moment almost in how you come into the sexual exchange and intimacy, just it changed my whole thinking. And I was 41 when I came across, so that's 20 years now, her work.
Yeah.
When I first heard about it. And by the time I was 48, I was over in Switzerland experiencing her beautiful Making Love retreat with a new partner. And just that's when everything really, really changed. I just got, you know, I think, well, hearing her work when I was 41, I felt like I could start to see that there was something different. I didn't have to be like a man. I didn't have to make love like a man. I didn't have to, you know, I could start to come inwards with that. And so that changed me. But actually experiencing the work and experiencing that with a partner was just literally life-changing. And it's changed so much of me and helped me just, I guess, come more into me as a woman. Because I think that this is a devastation for women to find that their bodies are changing and they don't know what to do about it. Mm. And, you know, I was speaking to a woman recently who said, you know, I went through breast cancer and losing my libido and having, you know, a dry vagina and my body changing was way worse than going through breast cancer. And I thought, wow.
Because I'm perimenopausal now, so it's like, you know, I'm coming into, so it's so good to read the book. And but I've had, you know, and my friends, you know, they're the same, and one's had a hysterectomy, she just kind of had to, and she's going through the same thing, and it's really devastating. It's changed her whole sex life with her husband, and there's pressure there, her internal pressure there as well, there's different avenues that we can go down, right, rather than just the, you know, pills and all that kind of thing, like chemicals and all that kind of thing, which I think is so important. But it's that rite of passage, or that time in it, like things change, our bodies change, and how we navigate that. And I was, you know, when I started on, and I love your story about your mum, you know, I didn't start on this whole kind of spiritual journey or just didn't know anything about tantric sex or anything till much later anyway, and so had the babies at hospital, all that, so I didn't know the options, but there's so many good such good work out there that we can have options now, so I love that you did that. And so that led you to the work you did today, and even when you're just speaking, Jen, I'm just like, oh god, this is so yummy. It's just like, you know, and I know for personally I've forgotten a lot of that just recently, you know, with, you know, people with COVID, the COVID stuff and the situation we're in, and lifestyle and busyness, we forget, you know, so we forget. So it's so important.
I think too, the thing is that we have, there's so much unconscious sexual conditioning.
Yes.
And, you know, there's unconscious male sexual conditioning, there's unconscious female sexual conditioning. So our sexual conditioning is to please, is to be available, is to make sure that, you know, everything's okay, that, you know, we keep the peace, we you know, we serve, we do that. And male sexual conditioning is, I mean, a lot of it is to reproduce and to
well, that's
to keep
the driver,
species going. Yeah. So that really is the driver. So, and I think this is the thing, is what this work helped me see, that it's less about the personal, even though, you know, I think when we push our agenda on someone, that is very unloving. But it is about how much this sexual conditioning is driving us, and this disparity between, you know, what is actually loving and what's healthy. And so I think in that way we can kind of be forgiven and see it as something more universal and more, you know, that's the male conditioning and that's the female conditioning than something personal. But I just see how empowering this work is for couples. When, I mean, I literally have, you know, women just sitting in my room here just crying when I teach this part, and men just going, oh my God, you know.
No one's told us that. No one shared that, you know, our own, well, apart from your mum. Yeah, you know, do you know what I mean? Like my mum, she would never have shared that. So, and I have the daughter too. So it's like, gosh, how can we teach them or just guide them? You know, everyone's got their own kind of purpose. But well, that leads me on to, what do you believe your purpose is?
To love. Oh, it's just about love. That is it. I really feel like it's about love, and like on a personal level, what are my barriers to love? And on a professional level, helping people to just unveil their barriers to love. So to me, I can feel
it's making me quite emotional.
When you
really simplify, I mean, and I don't need to bring hand analysis into this, but school, are you School of Love, by the way? I think you might have said that. But a lot of people are in the School of Love, right? 70%. And to me, the world, there's so many people here because we need love. The world needs love. The planet, we all do, whatever school you're in. But it's just interesting that we forget it is just about love when you really simplify it. But it's deep work though, isn't it?
It is. Like, it's deep and scary and vulnerable and hard, but liberating and truthful and embracing and inspiring. So you know, I just think that this is for people are yearning to connect. They are yearning for love. I mean, when you think of, you know, how we're brought up as children and how some get little love, and I really think that the embrace of a relationship is the place where we can heal. You know, it's in relationship that we hurt, and then it's in relationship that we can heal. And if you don't, you're not in a primary relationship, then definitely, I mean, we've got relationships all around us, but so it may not necessarily be with the person, you know, if you haven't got someone. But I just think that's the opportunity. And so love is really at the core of all my work. And the thing is, the shadow side of that for me personally is that I can give too much. I can have boundaries. I can sort of just drain myself. I can kind of look for the higher love at all times, and sometimes not kind of see clearly that this person's actually not being loving to me in my life, or you know. So for a very long time I stayed in a long-term relationship that was not loving, and loving to a degree, but just sort of was damaging, really. And that, again, it's, you know, I really think that as we move forward to come to peace with those things, and I really think, I mean, forgiveness is a beautiful thing, but really at the core of it, it's forgiveness of ourselves. that we end up in these certain situations. Yeah. And
what do you think that we, because I so relate, and I'm sure people who are watching, you know, this, they really relate too. Why do you think feel we stay in relationships that are not right for us for so long? That's a big question. I know it's a big question.
It's,
you know, even though you know it's not, it shouldn't be, you know, is there more learning there to do, or is it just, what do you feel?
I think for women, there is a degree of safety to be in a relationship. Actually, for men too.
That's actually true.
There is a degree of safety. We want that cradle of safety. Mm. We want that cradle of connection and togetherness. And even if it's unhealthy, the comfort, the discomfort of breaking out of that is sometimes just too big to bear until it gets to the point of absolutely unbearableness. That's what happened to me. I pretty much had a breakdown. And I had a death in my family. My cousin died. She had cancer. I got very, very ill. And then it just kind of went, I just kind of fell apart one day. And so I do think that it is safety, security for women as well, financial security. And, you know, I don't ever want to make that a wrong or bad thing, because this, again, is our conditioning and our programming. And, you know, we have all that time that we're giving to nurturing children. Let me think what else. And love. I mean, I think there's always a degree of love for the person, even if it may be unhealthy to some degree. There is that love. So to sort of hold those things. But in the end, you really have to ask, what is loving for me? That really has to be the question. What is loving for me?
What is loving for me?
You know, and think, where do I want my life to be? Is this it? And the times when I've, you know, left relationships, it's been like a leap into oblivion. I have not known. And it's really a leap into, the unknown. And it's kind of like a soul decision, really, in the end of, well, what, despite everything. But I did leave that one kicking and screaming, that long one where I had my children and everything like that.
Right. But you were kicking and screaming, like not wanting to go, or you were?
Yeah, not wanting to, but knew I had to.
But knew, I totally get it.
You just want to keep the children. You want to keep the family together. There's all of this, and I think that's very valid as well.
And it's when those scales, to me, it feels like when the scales just get too unbalanced, it's like, I'm out. You know, it has to be done for both of you, not just for me, for that. You know.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you said love is your purpose. Then, and one of my questions is how did you answer the call of your purpose? So how did you answer the call of love?
I don't think it was anything unconscious where I went, I'm gonna do this. You know what I mean? It was just an unfolding, and in a way, I think I've only just come to that. I mean, even just you asking the question, well, what, you know, I feel like that is it. And and when I look back, I mean, even when I think of, I'm going to get emotional now, you know, things in my life, like parenting my children and my son, you know, where there's been kind of some difficult times, and, you know, people can say, you know, I don't know why you keep giving, or why you keep, you know, and it's just like, no, open more, like love more. I couldn't not. It was love that brought me through all of that, and the love of my friends and everyone. So, and safe to say that he's going great now, but which is really wonderful. But I just think that. it's just, I don't know if it's that conscious, to tell the truth.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. But, well, then another question is then, why do you think it's so important to do your purpose work?
I think it's really important because then what's the meaning of life if you're not doing something that really is meaningful to you? And to feel, I mean, I feel inspired by what I do. I feel inspired, not what I do, but I feel inspired by the work. I feel inspired by my clients. I feel inspired by, you know, Diana Richardson stuff and how that's really inspired me. And I really think I heard something years ago by, what's his name? DeMartini. I can't remember his first name, but he said something that really hit me. He said, the word inspire is to in spirit and to be in spirit. And I feel like I to be in spirit in your work is something that is meaningful. And he said, if it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, it's not your life work. And I have to say this, when I think about this, when I feel about what I do, it brings it, I become emotional. I think it doesn't matter what you do, whether you are an artist and you inspire through beauty, or you inspire through beauty and interiors or photography, or you know, comedians make people laugh, or inspiration through writing or poetry. These things move people, and I think that's what we're here for, is to help people come to themselves and to inspire. And to me, that's the driving force.
I love that. So and I think it was John DeMartini, right?
John DeMartini.
Every now and again I'll pop and watch some things and that's gold. You know, it's just like, it's such a great remembering.
Yeah.
So knowing your purpose is one thing, like actually knowing what it is. But then, like, what's one of your what else do you think we need to do? Like, kind of like some people say, well, you know, your purpose, you have to know your values so they align with your purpose, or, you know, you have to do other work. What's one of your practices, or what else could you say that would support your purpose?
Well, I have been doing journey work for 20 years. So that's kind of deep emotional process work. So when something really sticks for me, I get a friend and we do a swap, and I find that really helpful. I have supervisors that I see, my supervisor all the time for my work. I have, you know, I'm not adverse to going and getting support and counseling.
Me either.
I think how can you not? Like, we need support. I don't understand people who don't go to see anybody. I really don't, because it's not like, well, I think we internalize things, or we just brush over things, and I think that things just come up then and rear their head. And body work, and I love craniosacral. It really it opens me into the field beyond myself and beyond my personality. It opens me into that larger field that brings me to stillness. So any of those things I think are really important. And you know, I guess the thing that I found really hard, and oh god, I feel vulnerable again speaking about it, is to have to put myself out there. You know, in business, in this current climate of exposure and, you know, showing myself in, I mean, I don't have a lot on YouTube to do that.
And the funny thing is, you've got a TED Talk, right? You've got a TED Talk, and you can go and watch. I love your TED Talk. And I'm thinking, wow. And I didn't even realize you did it until, you know, I went, oh my gosh. But I get that, like, so many people, do have that fear, and it's so important so that we can find you, right? So that's what makes me show up, you know. It's
exactly.
Like,
oh, I know, you're amazing. Oh my god, you're so
My times. I kind of go and I think you're right when it's that word inspirate. When I'm got off a call with the coaching client, I'm like, yeah, let's do this, and then I'm into it again.
Yeah,
but I can. Yeah, but it is vulnerable.
It is. And I think the thing is that, like, for me, what I notice is there's a feeling of going out. Okay, I've got to do this. I go out and then I find I've got to just come in and just regroup here and to really honor that and to not make that wrong or bad. And that's been a big stretch and a big growth point for me, to the point where sometimes, recently I've kind of wanted to really go back in again, but I've become a bit immune to seeing myself there or whatever. Right. There's an immunity that kind of comes on, but in my vulnerable moments, it's still a challenge. And because my work is so personal and for people to relate to me, I do share quite personally. It's just how I am, actually, I guess, a bit of an open book. But it can be quite vulnerable. So, that's the edge too.
I love that, the edge. But, I love how you say, we're out and then we have to come in. Do you feel that's the feminine way?
I think that what can happen is that we can get overstimulated. There's an overstimulation in that environment. Yeah. And when I look at the work that I teach, it's about too much stimulation creates too much excitement. There's too much of this. There's too much energy going out. And so it's about containment. It's about bringing it back in again. And when I'm more contained, I can fill myself up more. I can regroup. I can become more still. Mm. And there's an amplification of the energy that is in here rather than always being expelled outwards. Yes. And so that is draining to just be out. Mm. And so it's the containment, and the same with sexual energy, containment of sexual energy so that it can start to kind of recirculate through our own bodies and nourish us, rather than always expelling outwards.
I love that. I love that. And sometimes even, and it's not, I love seeing other people when they're doing posts and, sharing things. I'm like, oh my gosh, can I do that? I go that far? And then sometimes it's draining because it's too much. It's like, okay, I can stop now. But that's our choice. We can click off or whatever. But it's like, go you. Like, I celebrate them for doing that, but I've got to remember that for me. So it's like, keeping that for ourselves. So one question. So who is one of your favorite people that you've worked with and why, like your clients that you've helped or a story?
I thought you were meaning like a coach or something.
I actually need to rethink that, but no, somebody that you just got inspired, and you've probably got many, but I just do, one story.
I do. Oh my god. Couples recently who just, they've gone for 10 years or a long period of time with not making love and then just to have them in my room here or at the retreats. It's just over and over. I just see the same kind of thing, and that just relief on their faces and the tears that well up. Or recently working with clients one-on-one who's just had terrible abuse and things like that, and just feeling so humbled. I can think of some specific ones, but there really are. I think it's people who are just really willing to show up, willing to be there, willing to kind of be vulnerable, I guess, willing to look at themselves and how they've been. I'm really loving working with couples at the moment. I do this 6-week immersion one-on-one with them, and I'm going to take it into online because I just feel like it's a pity to not have this broader to be shared more. But of course you don't get that intimate in the room here. But I am just loving seeing the transformation Over that time, and it doesn't take much. And that's what I love. It's just a shift in awareness and a new perspective. And
love it. Oh, beautiful. So just tell us, Jen. I could speak with you for hours, and I will be, because I'm coming to your retreat very soon.
So good.
I'm just already feeling, you know, just the beautiful space that it's going to be. And it is a love act for me to come and enjoy that. You know, I'm so used to just carrying on, and, you know, like, you just give, and I'm like, oh, hold on, you know, it's different now. I'm in my 51 years, like, just change that up a little bit, do something for you. Where can we find you then? So what's the best places to find you? And I know you've got a beautiful opt-in for us. So
yes.
Can you share
so the opt-in is Why Women Close Down. On my website, janetmcgeever.com. There's also makinglovetreat.com.au, which is where the 6-day retreat is. But you can get to that through my Janet McGeever website. Also Instagram and Facebook, my Facebook business page is there as well. So, yeah, there's a few places.
And we'll put all the links below as well for you. Yeah. So, so then on ending, I always just like to end up with something a little bit weird. I don't know if it's weird. Some people are totally into this, but tell us something that nobody knows about you. And I know you're such an open book anyway, but just anything at all.
Well, I had a screen printing business for 13 years.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. I was an art teacher, and then when I had my first boy, I started a screen printing business, and that went on, a screen printing and clothing wholesale business, and also a retail business in CBD in Brisbane called Exotique, a women's boutique that had hand, you know, so art has always been kind of art and creativity and it's funny, you know, when I look back, that was from when I was 28 till I think 32. It was all about femininity. It was all about helping women be more feminine. All I could see were these big shoulder pads in the 80s.
Oh, and
the, it's like, how can women be more feminine?
I know. They're trying to square us off. Oh, that now makes sense. Like, whenever we're doing retreats or whenever I see you at an event, like, you just look beautiful and feminine and, you know, just this beautiful feminine power. So, love it. So is there anything you want to close on today?
Look, I guess make love our priority. That's, you know, you brought that up at the beginning, so that's all I can think of is, that's what we're here for, I think.
Thank you.
I can't think of anything else.
No, that's beautiful. We went full circle. Yeah. Make love priority. Yeah. If we all just had that in our mind, you know, today, in this act, in this whatever we're doing next. That's perfect. All right, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Janet.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
And you can grab her book. You can find that on your website as well. Until our next call. All right.
Yeah,
bye, everyone.
Thanks, Luanne. Bye. See you later. Bye.